chance for Sean Mackie to strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sent it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
Achilles had his heel, Superman had his kryptonite, the Death Star had the exhaust port, these are all weak spots. Falkirk have set plays as we went down 2-1 to St Mirren at the Falkirk Stadium yesterday, thanks to two set plays. What a shock. Hello, it is Falkirk Daft, your weekly roundup of all things Falkirk. We look back at the game, and I'm John McInally, and I'm joined as ever by the Ginger Gordon Pod. It is Ross Wayne.
Good morning, buddy. You're rough today from hospitality yesterday, or are you
not
right?
Not so bad. Enjoying hospitality. It was our sponsor's day. Shout out to Ian Mitchell, who couldn't make it in the hospitality yesterday. Hope Ian's getting better. One of our podcast sponsors of T8s, we'll speak about them in just a bit. But yeah, it was end up in hospitality yesterday with Brian Flynn, of course, owner of Behind the Wall. So it was in with him. And I was literally, because Ian pulled out, I called in Lewis Connolly, former Falkirk TV commentator. So he jumped in and we enjoyed hospitality in the company of Fred McCauley, who's one of my friends who I worked with for years on the radio. So I got dragged Fred along, and he's a bad luck charm because we obviously got beaten. So he did apologise for that. But
yeah, you can't go back.
I know, I did say that. So you're done. You're done now. But no, it was a good day. Good day as ever in the old hospitality. So yeah, it was nice, and not that rough, because the trip down the road, went for a pint Behind the Wall after hospitality, went for a pint in Elliot's, and then went up the road after that. So it wasn't too bad. It was quite well behaved.
Not bad. Listen, that sometimes happens like that, doesn't it? Like, yeah. Sometimes a hospitality day is like a full blown.
It's because you weren't there to encourage me along, Ross. That was it. I've realised that was that was the learn from it. That if you're there, you're a bad influence.
Well, that has been known. I had a quiet one. Obviously, I think I said in the last podcast, it was a cheer comp for my eldest yesterday. So my wife and daughter were there. So Amelia, my youngest, she was at the game yesterday. The in-laws were there as well. So it was, result aside, it was a lovely day.
It was a very good day for football, like, apart from the result. But we'll talk about the game in depth in just a bit. Let's see what's been going on. We've got another song suggestion. We're out of F Factor season at the moment, but I do like how people are still getting involved and coming up with songs. And it's from Alan, this one. It says, helping out with the Spring Queen today, so been listening to tunes, working on the question, do Steps have any good songs? Ross, I'll come to you and this one. Do Steps have any good songs?
You're going to go on to talk about one, and if I was picking one, it probably would be this one, just because it's got the word blue in it.
So deeper shade of blue. So Alan goes on saying, nothing much happening on the debut album, Step One. On to Step Pat. Who is listening to Steps while doing their housework, by the way, Alan? The questions have to be asked. On to Steptacular, which I think was the second Steps album. I'm wondering how we've gone so long without a chant to the tune of Deeper Shade of Blue, unless I missed it. There's a reason that we don't do chants to Deeper Shade of Blue, Alan. It's because it's written and sang by Steps.
I'm not sure this one works that well anyway, to be honest. It's a good effort.
Right, you're going to have to go for it, because I'm trying to think how Deeper Shade of Blue goes by Step. This is Deeper
Shade of Blue. Right, yeah, but I don't understand how the lyrics fit into this.
Right,
so
go for it. Give it your best shot.
Oh, God, right. Okay, so he's put Barney Stewart, he's scoring goals for you, and the Bairns are marching through. He's our man, Barney Stewart. I don't know if it works, but right. See, the middle bit works because it rhymes with blue.
Yeah.
But Barney Stewart doesn't rhyme with blue or through. Or you, for that matter.
Alan, you're going to have to explain your work in here. Please send us a
You
voice
need a voice
note.
note, yeah,
Need a
voice note,
voice
please.
note, because me and Ross are terrible singers. But I do question your musical taste, Alan. I'm going to be honest with you. Anyone doing housework and listening to both the debut album and follow-up album from Steps is one for the watching. That's all I'm going to say.
See, the thing is, I didn't actually realize that the first album was called Step One. Why wasn't their second album just called
Well,
Step
step
Two?
two. That
Like,
would have made step three. It would have
that
made
would have been
absolute
far
sense.
better, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
Yeah.
there must be a marketing reason behind it, but there you go. What's your favourite Step song, Ross?
I
What's
see,
your favourite Blue?
other than that one and the horrific, remember the first one they did? It was like that line dancing thing.
Five, six, seven, and eight.
Yeah, I can't
Romeo,
think of
Romeo.
another one, to be
Oh,
honest.
yeah, their cover version of Tragedy, of course. That was been
Oh,
massive. That had been
yeah.
massive in Rosie's back in the day.
That would have been massive in Roses.
Man.
That's obviously left my mind.
Do you know what was a banger actually? And it was I'm just looking down. I've called up Spotify. Stomp by Steps. That was. Let me see if this stands up to time. Oh, it used to be sample. It used to everybody clap your hands. Sample.
I know the one you mean. Good
That's
idea.
good.
Yeah.
That was a decent tune. There you go. Anyway, good. But I went on one off the steps there today. Right, brilliant. Let's go to club news then quite swiftly. Got a shout out to Scott Henderson and Crunchy Carrots have redeveloped the website. It looks better and even looks better on the mobile phone now because it used to be a nightmare on the mobile phone. And
Did.
Scott and the team at Crunchy Carrots have developed the website and it's looking good. Saw Scott yesterday, he sat in front of me, missed Barney Stewart's goal because he went to the toilet.
Schoolboy. Oh,
I.
that's he's not went for a tactical 5 to 3p, has he? You don't need it 5 to 3 and then again at 10 past, quarter past.
I know, I know. So there you
But his
go.
website's good. His
His
website does look
website's
very
good,
good.
but his
Yeah.
timing of going for a pee is to be desired.
Yes.
But yeah, I was like, I've just got to go and go for another piss so we can get another go in here. Come on.
Did he miss their equaliser as well then, did he?
I don't know. Well, he missed. I think he actually did miss the St Mirren second goal now, I come to think of it. So there you go. But yeah, so
Website
that.
does look fantastic though,
Website
and
looking good, so there you go.
huge huge shout out to Scott and
I
the
think he, I think he
Carrot Club.
donated the website and stuff as well. So I mean, obviously,
Yeah.
Crunchy Shirt sponsors Crunchy Carrots, and you then they always do great stuff for the club as well. So shout out to Scott and the team at Crunchy Carrots. Episode 23 of the official club podcast out now. I've not listened to yet. Ross, have you?
I did. I
Colin doing the
did.
job, or our friend Colin Barr chatting with Brad, Calvin, Colt, and Hendo. And I believe that was ahead of the FSS night, which they had in the Brockville Bar the other night there, which I believe I was speaking to Alan, who was hosting that. Said it was really good. The guys are in great form, great chat, and just like it was a really relaxed kind of day. So,
Good.
busy day for the boys the other night there with both the podcast and the event.
I think it was recorded before that. Yeah, Colin did a great job as he always does. Some good chat from Brad.
A lot more professional than this shambles.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's put some thought and effort
It's put some thought and effort into this question, as
into
opposed to the scope.
absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Well done. I shall listen to that on my dog walk tonight, Colin.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, well, listen, it's good. The boys are in good spirits. Obviously, that was recorded pre St Mirren, so the chat, a lot of the chat was focused on how the season had been so far,
yeah.
and thoughts ahead of potentially confirming the top six this weekend, which could still happen within the next couple of hours, by
Well,
the way.
half 12, we would the Dundee United have to win that game,
They
and
would, yeah.
you Dundee have to win that game, and I basically can't see that happening. So we'll wait and see what happens. It's just a shame we couldn't do it on our own merit yesterday, but
Agreed. Yes.
we'll see. Motherwell away tickets on sale now. I've got mine. We're going on this porter's bus, aren't we? You've already organised a bus, Ross, haven't you?
We've got a little minibus to go through early doors. Yep.
Is
So,
there any spaces on the Falkirk Daft minibus? Are they all taken?
I'll fill. I'll fill up.
Ah, there you
Fill
go.
up. Yeah, we're going through early doors. We're going to have a few beers through and for a place near the stadium. So, yeah, that'll be good. But yeah, Motherwell away tickets on sale now. Hopefully, a good crowd will go through. However, I do wonder if we are confirmed as top six this weekend. I do wonder if maybe some people will start to I don't want to say pick and choose their situation, but semi-final tickets are expected to go on sale very, very shortly. The prices haven't been officially announced by three of the clubs yet, but St Mirren did put theirs out on Friday late afternoon. And so we've been given a bit of an indication as to what the ticket sales, sorry, ticket prices are going to look like. So it was £42 for the north and south stands, which we will have sections in. And I want to say 32 for behind the goals, unless you just made that up.
That sounds about right. Expensive, man. That's pretty expensive. 42 quid.
I think I had 40 in my head, and the only reason I had that was because I looked at last
Did
year's
that
semi
last?
prices, and it was £40 last year.
How
I
much did we
saw
pay for the Inverness semi? Can you remember? Was it 35?
36 or
36.
37, something like that. Maybe it could have been more, to be honest, but I remember 30, late 30s anyway. I saw St Mirren did make a point of putting a comment on there that they had questioned the SFA over the price and were told that match day costs had increased for Hampden, and that's reflected in the ticket price.
Yeah, no, it'd be interesting. But yeah, you're maybe right. People will start going, well, I'll pick and choose my games because we've got that semi-final coming up. It's going to be an expensive day, especially, by the time you've got Wains into the equation and your travel through and what have you. Talking about that, yesterday, I actually tried to work out. Because now my brother's got suggesting an empty, but then I'm like, he's 40 minutes walk away from Hampden, so we don't know what's going on. And with the situation at Central, hopefully that will all be resolved before the game in April, but that could be an absolute nightmare trying to get out to Hampden from Glasgow City Centre. I mean, I'm not getting a bus. You sort of your bus, Ross, for your friends and family and stuff like that. But yeah, I think we're talking about getting trained through, and potentially I believe Druthy's opens at 9 o'clock in the morning. So if you order a butter and toast, which is £1.75 or £1.25, you can have a pint of Tennent's. So that could be an
Just a
option.
mountain of toast on a table.
Everyone's so I don't know. I don't know, but I think I'll be getting the train through that day. But I don't know, the situation at Central is a bit worrying, so we'll see what happens with that. But yes, more details on that in the next month or so. Let's charge right into birthday corner right now, and we'll kick things off with saying happy birthday to Falkirk being living in America, Robert Ritchie. Happy 40th, Robert. I don't know where he lives in America. I'd love to know that. But that's from Michelle, Alan, and William. So happy birthday on the 22nd of March to you,
Indeed.
Robert.
And also happy birthday to our friend of the podcast. She's been on as a guest pundit previously as well, Yvonne Johnson. His birthday is today,
Oh.
20, well, tomorrow, 23rd, Monday the 23rd. And that comes from Maya, the rest of the family, and obviously your pals as well.
Happy birthday, boy. I love the phone. She's coming to Motherwell with us, isn't she? She's on the
She
bus.
is, yep. Her and Maya will
Excellent.
be on
Great. Well,
the
I'll
bus
buy
soon.
you a birthday drink, Yvonne, and when I see you next. Andy White, I was out with Elliot's with Andy last night. It was his birthday on Friday there, the birthday boy. Falkirk's greatest statistician is Andy White.
And that's official.
And that is official. That is 99% confirmed, that Andy is focused. So happy birthday, Andy.
Are we allowed to talk about that actually? Because officially, that's his. He's not meant to talk about his job, is he?
No,
Oh
he's quoted in the papers and all that sort of stuff.
well, yeah, that's true. Actually,
Actually, he's
that
quoted.
is true. He's allowed to be outed then,
Yeah.
from that perspective. Happy birthday, also, for Friday, just passed to the King of Falkirk. That's the self-titled King of Falkirk, Stuart Adam, and that comes from Ruby, Will, and everyone else that knows you, mate.
Aye. So yeah, Stuart, one of our is in fact Stuart, he's the FSS director, isn't he? I can't. He's
No,
now.
I don't think. No, he's not. No, that's
Right. Am I just
I
making
don't
stuff
have it
up?
right
Did
in
I
my
not
head.
see the FSS saying that he's? I don't know how. I
So
don't know how.
Stuart was obviously very, very, very well connected into the FSS at one point, but no, he's not the official. I think he was co-opted onto the board, but not as part of
Right.
FSS.
All right, there you go, there you go. But Stuart, we love Stuart. He's a happy birthday to him. And our Sean Mackey lookalike, Evan's been in touch. Evan, former guest pundit on this podcast. Can you please put a birthday shout out for Callum Wallace, Wally, esteemed holder of a coveted 10-year season ticket. There you go, one of the few that's got a 10-year season ticket when they did that scheme a few years back. So well done, Wally.
They've won a watch, haven't they, with the 10-year season tickets?
Aye, by the way, what a shout that, when you look back and go, Jesus Christ, that is, what a shout that is, the 10-year season. Was that 3 years ago, 4 years ago we put that out? I
maybe
can't remember.
Not even as long ago as that. I think it was maybe the, was it the end of the first McGlynn season, potentially?
Aye, aye, aye. So there you go. What an absolute shout that was from Wally. He turns 28 on Sunday, 29th of March, and that's from Evan, Harrison, Flynn, and wee Michelle. And one more to do. I was remiss, and I completely forgot to do it last week. Big shout out and happy birthday to the main man, Brian Johnson. That's from Lauren and Barry and the rest of the family. Brian, absolute legend of the game. He's never away for a holiday, is Brian. Like, he was in Lanzarote, he always has his Falkirk Daft Bucket hat on the go. And he got a special birthday message from Russell Latapy as well. So a special birthday message from Falkirk Daft as well, Brian. I'm sorry, I forgot about it last week. And I got a rate message from your son telling me, what about my birthday message? So shout out to Brian. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday indeed. George, you've just reminded me of something. I was scrolling Facebook last night and you weren't tagged in the photo because I don't know if you're friends with this person, but he's on my friends list. So Gordon, and he put a picture up saying hobnobbing with celebrities, and then puts a picture of you and him and behind the wall, I assume, last night. And I'm sitting going, oh, there's John.
What a stretch that is. But I know I was in behind the wall last night. Aye, of course, after the game. Players' birthdays wise, we've gone the 23rd. It's Blair Alston. Happy birthday, Blair. And Danny Rogers. Danny Rogers, great goalkeeper for us as well. Where's Danny Rogers? I always get to this section and go, what are they doing with their cell now? Where are they? Let's have a look where Danny Rogers is these days. That's Danny Rogers. Danny Rogers, goalkeeper. Danny Rogers. There's a lot of Danny Rogers. Let's go goalkeeper Danny Rogers. Where's Danny Rogers now? Oh, this is the American footballer Danny Rogers. I don't want that Danny Rogers. Danny Rogers, St. Patrick's Athletic he's at now. There you go. Danny Rogers out there now at St. Patrick's Athletic.
Was Irish, wasn't he?
He was capped 10 times for the under-21s.
There we go.
So there you go. Happy birthday, Danny. He was a decent goalkeeper for us. He not saved the, when we had a penalty, it was a penalty, wasn't it? We beat Celtic and he saved a penalty, or was it Rangers?
Rangers, yes.
Rangers,
yeah,
that was
he was
that.
A goalkeeper against Rangers, yeah.
There you go, so brilliant. Happy birthday, Danny. On 25th, Sabatino Damasus, Falkirk's first foreign signing. Didn't play a game for us. Italian thoroughbred that he came in, baldy guy, looked a wee bit like Lombardo, and then didn't play a game for us. He turns 56. Gary Smith, really good player for Falkirk, turns 55. And Kieran McKenna, there's another one. Let's find out where Kieran McKenna, he turns 28.
See, just once you're finding out about Kieran, remember Sabatino did play 6 minutes against Thistle, I think it was.
He came off the
opening game of the season. Yeah.
Never to be seen again.
First Italian, I don't remember him being. He couldn't have, no, he wouldn't have been.
No, because Ristich would have been before him.
There surely would have been someone even before Ristich.
I don't think someone will correct us, because someone always does, by the way, in the comments below. Correct.
Well, Ristich was Falkirk, 90.
What was Falkirk's first foreign signing?
Ristich was 93-94. Just try to think off the top of my head if we had anyone in my era, which would have been late 80s to onwards, obviously, but I can't think of another non-UK. There must have been.
I think Ristich was it. I can't think of anyone below that. Someone will correct us, please do in the comments below. Yeah. Kieran McKenna, by the way, is now playing for Alqueries CF. He was at Queen of the South till 2023, and I don't even know what Alqueries CF is.
Sounds Portuguese or Spanish.
The Alqueries CF, where are they based? Jesus. I've went down a rabbit hole here of where all these footballers are from. Alqueries CF, club market, transfer market. Anyway, there we go. Kieran McKenna, was decent for us, I thought, as well, there. Hadji turns, Brad McKay turns 33 on the 26th. I think he's trying to be a hairdresser now. I think he's with Brechin. I'm going to say Brechin. He's certainly in the Highland League, somewhere like that.
For sure. Well, is he definitely training to be a barber, is he?
Well, he told us that. He really seems training to be a barber.
Oh, he did. That was at a dinner.
Aye.
At the end of the Invincible season.
Aye. Alqueries CF, I think, are in Spain, by the way. There you go. Kieran McKenna.
Sounds Spanish, doesn't
Oh,
it?
he's maybe departed. I don't know. Anyway, there we go. Sorry, we're down there. Brad Mackay there as well. Hadji on the 27th. I love Craig McPherson when he played for us. What a player. Midfielder turned into a wing back. Unbelievable stuff.
Yep.
You've written down Craig McLeish, who was a St Mirren manager. He didn't play a game for Falkirk, did he? I know he was in the youth
It was a
setup.
youth setup. I can't recall if he played any first team games, but
Yeah, there you go. He
yeah.
was in the dugout yesterday for St Mirren. James Craig in, still kicking a ball with Spartans. I'd like James when he was at us. He turns 35. Kai Kennedy, still at Queen of the South as well, scored that absolute cracker against Ayr. We all thought he was going to go on to bigger and better things, and he didn't. He's at Queen of the South now. So Kai Kennedy turns 24. Billy Bill in the Bill turns 55. Remember the coin? The old Fareed coin with Lee Bill.
That's it.
I really liked Lee Bill, and I thought he was a brilliant leader on the park. And he got a bit of stick, obviously, because he was kind of came from that side of the four, the other side of the fourth, for a bit. Legend down Sheffield way as well. I think he's
He
still
is.
involved. I think he's back down there and he's involved in Sheffield Wednesday again.
Huge, huge Wednesday legend.
Yeah.
Massive Wednesday legend, yeah.
Yeah, so he turns 55 on the 29th, and so does Lyle Taylor, who I think is still kicking a ball as well. I mean, he got some really big moves after leaving us as well. I think
I was
was he at
surprised.
Forest at one point? I think he even
I
was.
think he was. I think he was. I was surprised he's 36, but then when you think about it, he would have been a youngster when he played with us, which would have been
Yeah.
about 14 years ago. So yeah, I
Yeah.
suppose it all ties in.
Where is he now? He's at Chelmsford City, still kicking the ball. He scored
Chelmsford.
16 goals this season for Chelmsford. There you go.
What level's that?
I don't know. Chelmsford City. We're going the
National League,
National League
probably.
South, mate. They're in the
Yeah.
National League South. There we go. So there we go. But I had a decent career at Lyle Taylor. And obviously, if he had scored that fourth chance against Hibs and we would have went 4-0 up at half time, we might have got into another final. But then we won't talk about that Hibs game. That has
No.
just got to be wiped from my memory.
Absolutely.
Absolutely brutal. Anyway, that's all the birthdays done. Thank you. Before we get into the St Mirren match, to Behind the Walls. I was in there last night, funnily enough. Stay local, eat, drink, global. Falkirk Daft Venom still on sale there. I didn't enjoy one last night, but I did have a pint. You know what you think with being obviously sponsors of the podcast and going to hospitality, and you think we'd get a free pint of Behind the Wall now and again. Never happens. Big Brian knows how to run a business, I'll tell you that much.
Was he there
He
when you went in
jokingly
last night?
said at one point, put it on my tab, and I was like, "Hi, very good, Brian. Very good."
Yeah, no, listen, you should have done that. You should have took him up
I
if
should,
I'm not.
I don't think he's got a tab. I think he was at the wind up anyway. But it was great to.
I'm gonna use that next time,
All these people in Falkirk Daft that listeners are all going into Behind the Wall now going, "Can you put
put
that
it
on
on my
Brian's
tab.
tab, please?" But no, great to have a company of the big man yesterday. It was a really good day out with him. But yeah, seats are on sale for Motherwell. He was telling me he's got seven buses running for the semi-final now.
Seven now, is it?
Seven, he's
Brilliant.
got seven buses for the semi-final. I think there's still a few spaces left on those as well, so get in touch with the bar. And obviously the usual shenanigans, you get your pint on return. But it's 12.50 for Motherwell. I don't know how much the semi-final ones are.
15 for the semi.
15 for the semi. So there you go. You'll get your pint, you'll get your bus out to the game, you'll get back, you'll get your pint. What a winner. Loads of stuff going on behind the wall. We've got an ABBA tribute on the 27th. George Michael tribute on the 3rd. What's your favourite George Michael song?
Do you know I'm ready for this.
Oh.
It's not one of his though, because I know he had loads of stuff with Wham, but he did a, oh shit, what was it called? He did a song with Mary J. Blige, and
Oh, that's a great one.
that was a belter. I can't remember what it
S
was called
is it
now.
S is it was it called
As
As
there we
brilliant,
go.
great. That's a very, very good Ross.
Thank you.
Would you think of that earlier on the 24th of April, an afternoon with Tam Cowans on the 25th, the Phonics Stereophonics tributes on the 25th as well, and Falkirk Daft Live of course will be there. Get the date saved, 15th of May, tickets on sale soon. Guest TBC. I've got a few ideas. We've talked about Scott Arfield, we've talked about other people. Will get someone booked in and we'll let you know about that. But we'll put on the ticket. I think I'll put tickets on sale next week, the start of April for that. Tickets will go on sale for the
Not
next.
April the 1st. Not
Not
April
April the
1st.
1st, no. But we'll put. Is it the second? Is the second a Friday? Anyway, we'll tickets all on sale. We'll let you know on the next podcast when they go on sale. But yeah, there we go. Lots happening there. And check out behindthewall.co.uk for all the info. Right, let's talk about the game now then, shall we? As we took on St Mirren at Stadium yesterday. off the back of a draw up at tawdry. Liam Henderson, we saw and we talked about it in the preview episode. He didn't make the squad. Other injuries, well, Kyrie Wilson, so can he seem to keep himself fit? He fell out as well, so there was no return for Kyrell. And the shock news of the week was Ethan Williamson. Looks like he's done with Falkirk now. Doesn't look like he's going to be back. Got a tear, I think, in his calf. So he's way back down to Man United for his rehab. And it's just a shame with Williamson because he really did show stuff and he's just not been able to get going at all.
And it is it. It's Williams.
Williams. I keep saying, I don't know why I call him Williamson. I don't know why.
I smiled every time that. You said Williamson.
I don't know why. I've done that from the start of the season. I keep calling Ethan Williamson. But yeah. Ethan Williamson, he's just not been able to get going at all.
No, I don't think he's had a proper impact in since pre-Christmas, to be honest. He's obviously found game time. Few and far between as well. So hopefully it doesn't sound like he's going to be back this season. If you were offered him next season, would you take him back? Obviously, John.
I don't think he's, because of the injuries, he's just not got the chance to get a run, a consistent run in the team. And when he did it earlier on, before he got injured, he looked all right. And as I've raved about it, I think he's got an absolute legend of a touch. But
his form early, like first half of the season, was pretty decent with some really good assists.
Scored against Kilmarnock as well.
But I think since probably mid to late December onwards, he's not really.
It's just been injuries. Just not had the opportunity, and it's just been chopped out. So feel sorry for him. But it meant that with Liam out as well, Lewis Nielsen came into his side. You know, we talked about it in the podcast. I'd rather have seen Adams in at right back and Lisa shuffling across one, but they went with Lewis in at centre half, and he didn't, to be fair, look to Lewis. And I know he gets a lot of criticism and a lot of people are on Lewis's back. He didn't do anything wrong yesterday.
No. I don't think Nielsen did have a bad game yesterday. There's obviously a lot of chat online around whether he and Cole work as a partnership. There was a lot of chat about that last night, which I'm sure we'll come into. But no, I didn't think he had a bad game. He's pretty fast and he's got a good height on him. I don't think we defended, which we'll come on to. I don't think we've defended the two goals particularly well.
I've got a lot to say about those two goals. Let me tell you, I'm still
adamant that the second one shouldn't have been allowed due to the foul.
There's a lot to be said. There's a lot to be said about those two. Sam Hart and Kai Brown. Great to see young Kai Brown on the bench. I was really, really hoping that we could be 3-0 up and bring him on.
He would have got on. It would have been phenomenal. We talk about Craig Sibbald, John, but Kai Brown, Falkirk fan, family's full of Falkirk fans as well. His mum, who...
He's the same year as my boy at school, which I find... My Finlay was like, oh, I go to school with him. Like, he was on a trip to Germany or something with me, and I spoke to him and all that, and I find
John, his stats this year are phenomenal. Now, bear in mind, he's 16, plays with the 19s, all right?
Yeah.
He's played 24 games this year, 18 assists and 14 goals. Jeez. That is phenomenal. It's no wonder that John McGlynn and Paul Smith have had him in and around every match day since really early on this season, helping with the warm-ups.
Like, same with Joe Hastings as well, obviously.
Absolutely. So, as you said, just a shame that the game didn't really go a particular way that we might have saw him get some minutes, but that might still happen at some point between.
It'll definitely happen before the end of the season. 100% it'll happen before the end of the season. But it was great to see young Kai on the bench, and I was really hoping that he would get sort of run out, but it will happen. It'll definitely happen this season.
It will.
Good to see that as well. And Sam Hart, just there he was, the bold Sam Hart. Just, you forget about Sam Hart, and then he was on the bench there.
Yeah, he does just sort of come in and out, doesn't he? The players were really, really talking him up on the club's official podcast. So get when
you're. It looks like he's a great character, and he looks
absolutely.
From what you see, I think him and Brian Graham. I've seen a couple of bits on Instagram. I think they're very pally as well, and. But Sam Hart has not done anything particularly wrong. He had an absolute nightmare against Motherwell in the first half when we played him at Fir Park, but he's not done anything particularly wrong. It's just, again, Leon's done such a good job at left back, and Lisa's generally shuffled over to left back when Leon's not been available. So but you know, who knows, he might get his, play his part before the end of the season as well, you never know. But yes, let's get into the football. You know, St Mirren managerless Craig McLeish in charge. Good to see Stephen McGinn not wearing a St Mirren. That was when I was going into hospitality. Stephen passed me and said, came over to say hello. I was like, good to see you've still got the Falkirk tracksuit on, Stephen. He sort of smiled at me and we kind of walked on. But
he got a bit of stick in the, his name came up in that official podcast as well, because I think it was Hendo, I think, says something along the lines of he's been amazing for us, and he then threw a comment like, just hope he stays for the rest of the season type thing. So interesting. Obviously the media don't seem to be kind of running with Stephen now so much. They seem to have shifted their focus on Neil Lennon getting a bit of
by the way, I'm here for Neil Lennon getting this around job, because that would just be a distraction for Dunfermline, and they're up to the semi-final. So I saw Callum Morrison got injured yesterday as well, which is great news. I really hope he's injured for the rest of the season now as well. That would be great. That would maybe make me sleep a little bit better, not knowing that Callum Morrison's on the park for Dunfermline come April the 18th. But Steve McGinn, obviously, in our dugout, it was Craig McLeish, as we said, that's in the away dugout for St Mirren. And you know, we didn't start off with the impetus that we normally do, but we started finding it well enough, and you know, St Mirren fanning about with it at the back, and we managed to capitalise it upon it. Dylan Tate, Cal Miller and Barney Stewart reacting really, really quickly. Great. Oh, by the way, when you look at Dylan's if you see his little setup, the way he just moves his feet on that and just slips in Barney.
Yeah.
And a brilliant goal. Barney just doing what Barney's done. A striker in form, as they all say. And he just didn't take a touch. He just knew exactly what he wanted to do. It smacked it back into the bottom right corner. And it was a great first-time hit from Barney. And just a man on fire at the moment.
It really was. The press was fantastic, as you said, Brad, and Dylan doing exactly what we would hope they would do, which is pressing high, closing the space. As you said, Dylan, really lovely setup for Barney. And I'm so chuffed that Barney not only scored, but like he hit it first time, because he hit it early. It didn't give Shamal George any real time to sort of get, because he was sort of running back on himself, not expecting that this was going to happen. But a lovely, lovely pass. Probably one of the few moments where Shamal George didn't go down injured in that moment.
Yes, a bit more on that later on as well. But we've seen it happen an awful lot of times with Falkirk's our goals before half time, or we don't hold on to the lead long enough. And then it's happened loads of seasons. And again, go back into my opening comments, it's set pieces doing us again. Like, I thought we'd got rid of this bug. But is it because Henderson was missing? Is it again going back to the dreadful zonal marking? Like, I hate it. I mean, Freckleton, like, you know, concede the corner, fair enough. But Freckleton literally walks into the six-yard box. Literally just strolls into the six-yard box, unopposed, unmarked, and he's got a free header in the six-yard box. Now, Scott Bain, you could ask questions about Scott Bain. It is in the six-yard box. Goalkeepers, you would think, should be getting that. But I don't know if he's put a call in to come and get the ball. But they just leave Freckleton. He literally walks in between Donaldson. I can't remember who's in before. Maybe he is Nielsen. And Freckleton just walks into the space between them, and he's got a free header.
Scott Bain, for me, is at fault here, John. I watched it back a dozen times last night when the highlights went on the BBC. And what I can see is Donaldson looks to be, hence why Donaldson's absolutely furious with Bain and the aftermath. But Donaldson is literally just about to sort of leap, which would have, in my opinion, given a really, really good chance of getting this ball away. Bain comes across him to attempt to punch, gets absolutely nowhere near it, by the way, and Freckleton headers into an empty net. I just, you're right, Soupsy, previously we can blame zonal marking, we can blame someone, no, like getting up and up for a header, but I think Donald, I think Cole would have if he had been allowed to, but he wasn't, and Baines just took the decision for him, but got absolutely nowhere near it. For me, I just don't see another person at fault there for that goal,
I
which is
honestly,
sad.
I'd see the man mark. That's all I'm saying. Man mark. Like, I'm still to find out the answer to this. Like, he is lit. I watched it as well with White Euros loads of times, and you see Freckleton from behind the goals. He literally just walks into the 6 yard box, unopposed, unmarked. It really, really does my tits in. Really does my tits in. So, aye. So there we go. It goes 1-1, and we can see straight away. But then we have a couple of chances. Dylan Tate should have done better for him when it's laid up to him for the edge of the box. Again, John spoke about getting Dylan more goals in his game. We saw a couple against Kilmarnock, but you know that's the opportunities that Dylan needs to be just like even just making the keeper working those kind of opportunities. And then obviously Barney, brilliant work from Brogio out on the left. Again, I think it was in the podcast last week. I was saying he doesn't cross enough, and he just hangs. What a great ball in! And it hangs up at the back post. Barney does pretty much everything right, but score it because it comes smack off the post. Looking back on it, I think he'll be disappointed in himself that he didn't score. He should have been maybe just going back across the goalkeeper rather than going straight in because he had plenty of time to judge that ball coming because it just there was that weight kind of floating in the air and he was running onto it. So I think Barney will look back at that and be quite frustrated that he didn't score.
It possibly, yeah, it was a very, very good cross. I agree with you. I thought Brogio was the livelier the between him and Calvin yesterday. I don't think Calvin had a.
I didn't think Calvin was great yesterday.
No,
Again,
don't think he had
I
a.
think he's dropped a wee bit of form, Calvin, in
It
the last
wasn't alone
few weeks.
yesterday. I think
Oh
he
no,
was
well,
a.
listen,
He wasn't
he
alone.
wasn't alone yesterday. I thought Brad Spencer, Dylan Tate looked very frustrated when he came off the park because I thought Brad should have come off before Dylan did yesterday.
Dylan absolutely whacked the inside of the dugout when he got
I
absolutely
understand
obliterated.
why because I thought Brad, there was a few misplaced passes from very un-Brad like yesterday, but there was a few decision making, a few misplaced passes from Brad, and I was surprised that it was actually Dylan that came off as opposed to Brad yesterday. Because, you know, in terms of chasing the game, Dylan's the more dynamic of the two. So, you know, you brought on Henry, obviously, and again, I really like Henry Cartwright. And I actually do hope he stays next season. But like, I'm not surprised. I think Dylan's probably went, well, why am I going off instead of Brad? Because Brad wasn't 100% of the races yesterday. I didn't think.
I didn't feel we won too many of the midfield battles yesterday,
No.
unfortunately. The St Mirren were pretty streetwise, and
I mean, do you know what?
that's.
I saw a comment online. Someone said it was a very Livingston performance from St Mirren. It felt like a Livingston
Listen, they got their
game.
noses in front and they did what they needed to do. They are fighting for their lives and their livelihoods, sorry. And I think it was never ever going to be anything. We spoke about it in the preview. We expected them to be up for it, which they were. They didn't really create much.
No, they didn't. They didn't.
The set pieces is obviously two issues that they went in their favour. We could have probably had. We'll come to it. There's instances where we could have done better. Decisions didn't go for us as well. John McGlynn's obviously, which we'll play, very frustrated with the officials as well as our own failings. And that is very unlike John McGlynn. He never comes out and trashes
The
a
ref,
ref.
yeah, I've never seen him do it, and that was the first time he did it. I tell you what, the ref as well, like going back to, you know, in the first half, when I have no idea why there was a foul given on Philip Lisa I think it was on Gogic or whatever. Brogio is fat, like the whistle's blown, obviously, and Brogio's fired it into the net.
Yeah.
But I look back at that and go, what? Wait, why is he blowing the whistle? What has happened there?
Yeah, no, I know. I agree. That
I
was
mean,
some
because it was a
baffling.
good chance, because it got fed out to Brogio, and like, you know, there's a good chance he's going to score as well. I'm like,
Yeah.
where's the foul? I could
Some
not believe it.
very questionable decisions. The main stand side linesman, I thought was pretty brutal as well.
Yeah.
The fourth official, I've never seen a fourth official get so involved in the Falkirk bench. Like it was forever. And I don't mean John like separating the benches. There was none of that. Like there was no animosity from what
No, no,
happened
no.
between right. But this fourth official was constantly in Falkirk's technical area. Like you know when they interfere when John McGlynn steps like a pubic hair out of the box and
Yeah.
they'll go, oh come on John, come back, come back. He wasn't even outside the box. This guy was constantly, and then as the play moves down towards the Kevin McAllister, the fourth official's then entering into our dugout space, just following the game. You're like, what, why are you so involved in this game?
Yeah.
Like you're doing nothing of any value. Well, I don't think fourth officials do anything ever of any value, to be fair, but honestly, just he was causing a nuisance, and you could tell Smudger especially was getting r
Did
really
he? Did I
frustrated.
see him get booked? Did one of them get booked? Did I see the fourth official had his? I didn't. I just kind of glanced up and I saw that the fourth official had his cards out, and I was wondering if any of them had actually got
Not that
booked.
noticed. No, not
Right.
that noticed, but really frustrating.
Yeah. But yes. Aye, we'll talk about the ref. So 1-1, it goes in at half time. You're expecting better in the second half, but I mean, we came out again. You know, a couple of chances, and Cam Miller had that shot which kind of deflected over the bar. I mean, we started off okay, but then again, just another set piece. Now, Leon McCann will look back at this and think he should have done a lot better than he did. Just a bad touch, like an unforced error from Leon when he's out on the left-hand side.
He slept by the looks of it, yeah.
Yeah, he's not got control of the ball and then brought the guy down. And again, just a set piece, and it's very much like the last set piece in the, just it's a ball in at the back post, and Liam Donnelly's there this time to get a free header on it. But let's just talk about the fact, should it have stood? I mean, the Falkirk players were raging
Yeah.
after the goal was given
Yeah.
effectively, because you go back at it and Lisa Gogic has nudged right into Lisa,
It
and
has.
Lisa's that defending Donnelly,
Yeah.
and he's the goal's been given. I don't understand why.
No, I again, like last night, like the Saints' first goal, I watched it back a dozen times, and I just every angle looks bad on Gogic on Lisa. I've no idea what VAR have not seen there. Like, what do they think has happened? That Lisa's slipped? Has he ran like is he clumsy that if he's fallen? I don't get it. And I think that's a huge impact on the way the game was going, because they weren't really creating much. We weren't either, but they weren't creating much. And it's a sore one, that one. That is a real sore one.
Yeah, I have no idea. No idea how that goal was given when you look back in it. And I saw that they were Steve Naismith on Sports Scene last night trying to defend it, say that, you know, it shouldn't be, it should quite rightly be given a goal. I was like, are you kidding me on?
Oh, I've not watched
No,
the full analytics of it yet, but
yeah, they basically, and we'll talk about the handball in a minute as well. But we going down 2-1, I expect more reaction than what we gave, to be honest with you. We did obviously made changes. Finn again, Finn so industrious, but I just think he's wasted in the 10. I do. I just think he's such an industrious player, but I just think sometimes he gets, you know, he shouldn't be, he should be in the 10 row, and he gets dragged deeper than he should do and stuff like that. Again, I was having this chat with Lewis yesterday when I was sat next to him, and I was just saying, and Lewis was slating Brogio. I thought Brogio had a decent enough game, but he tends to drift in into the middle, and I just think, is he better suited to playing the 10 and putting like someone else out wide, going back to Ethan Ross and
yeah.
Calvin Miller, invert them, or you know, what we did through the championship scene, having Miller and Ross on either wing and putting Brogio in the 10, because he's more like Finn, and Finn will probably hold his hand up to it as well. In fact, he's not creative, he's just industrious. Finn is industrious. But I think if you were to put Brogio in that 10 role, you know, he's probably in a more natural position because you watch him, he just keeps drifting into the middle. And, you know, we talked about his crossing stuff. If he's through the middle and he's going to score a worldie, I will guarantee that Ben Brogio will score a worldie before the end of the season, where he'll beat about five men and then slot one by. But I do think that's what I would look at from Motherwell, is because I think Ethan Ross, I thought, was really good, looked all right when he came on as well, and he looked like he's getting back to what he is. He obviously spurred by confidence from that assist at Aberdeen last week as well. But I think given that, I think Calvin's a bit out of form at the moment as well, so maybe that'll be a little spark if you were to bring Ethan and go back to the inverted wingers like we did previously, and then sticking Ben in the 10. That, yeah. I mean, I'm not the manager of the team. John
Calvin looked a frustrated boy yesterday. And listen, it's not for the want of trying, because Calvin is a hard worker. He does try to be like his usual sort of 9, 10 out of 10 type self. But yesterday just, it wasn't his game yesterday.
I was amazed that when he hit that free kick, when we had that free kick at the edge of the box, and it wasn't Ethan Ross that hit it.
More very wasteful at points yesterday.
Absolutely. I mean, the big chance, we'll talk about the penalty incident in a minute, but it was the big chance when there was the great little 1-2 between Brogio and Lisa.
Yep.
And Lisa goes through it. It's just a heavy, just a slight lighter touch, and it's going to be an equaliser there, I thought. But yeah, I mean, you can't. Again, Lisa wasn't. Is the amazing Philip Lisa that we expect yesterday as well. He was a wee bit off it as well, but that would have been a really good goal if it had come off. But yeah, just a light, slightly heavier on the touch there as well. You know, and let's talk about obviously the penalty incident as well. Right now, I think John said in his aftermath, and we'll hear that in a minute, that you don't want to see those penalties given, but they have been given, so why are they not given on a day like that? I think it was actually Brian Graham who was up in the lounge afterwards. In his words, the referee was horrendous. Don't know if I read the broadcast that or not, but Brian was like, he was absolutely horrendous. He referred to the Simon Murray incident, which obviously Dundee got a penalty given them against that. He's like, what's the difference there? What is the difference there?
That's my frustration as well, John. I agree with you. It shouldn't be a penalty.
It shouldn't be.
But we have seen these being given time and time again this season so far. I fully expected that penalty to be given, and I was so shocked when it was waved away.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's just the game we were having yesterday, especially with that referee in charge. It was just brutal. Absolutely brutal.
Do you know what I think? What's your opinion on the subs yesterday? I thought I get the bench was light, as in right in terms of like game changers, right? Mm-hmm. I thought the subs that we did make, I thought we were far too late.
Yeah, I thought Brian Graham should have been in. We should have went 4-4-2
a lot earlier,
and given Brian, because Brian didn't get much of a chance to run out with Brian up front, I think, you know, before he was about 5 minutes, so why not go 4-4-2 when we're like down by that point? And we saw Aberdeen, it came up well at Aberdeen because Brian ran off and Barney obviously was able to stick at the back post and do that. But going 4-4-2 and bringing Henry on, sacrificing that 10 and then going with the wingers with Barney and Brian in the middle, I thought we should have done it a lot earlier. And again, I'll go back to, I do think that it should have been Spencer that came off instead of Dylan Tate yesterday as well, because I thought Brad was a bit off it yesterday. And I can understand why Dylan would be frustrated that he's come off instead of Brad. I mean, if you're saying what, you know, he's hit the dugout.
Well, when he came off, it was him and Brogio. I'm assuming Brogio's not whacked the dugout. So
it will just be absolute frustration.
Oh, of course it is. Yeah, listen, he's a winner.
That's going on.
He's a fighter and he's a winner and he wants to play and he wants to make a difference. And not that no one else, obviously, everyone's of the same opinion, right? But in terms of his own personality, his mentality, he wants to be winning and try to get us back in that game. He didn't look like leggy or anything, as in to suggest that he was going to get subbed. But I just felt the subs in general were too late. I just don't think it was working. But the subs bench was very. And we get it. Listen, you've got Marsh injured, you've got Williams injured, you've got Kyrell injured,
McKeever, Patterson,
McKeever, Parkinson. So
Jamie
there's no
Sneddon.
Jamie Sneddon. So there's so much. There's so many players out injured up that top end of the field that, of course, you're going to have less ability to change a game. And when you did look at the bench,
It's actually in the wide areas that,
that's where
where
we're
we're light
struggling.
now, because without Wilson, without Williams, without Alfie, you've not got the only option you've got to switch it wide is to bring on Ethan Ross, when it's all going. So that's where we're struggling a wee bit in the wide areas.
The good news is they're not going to be out for, well, apart from Williams, the Kyrell's expected to be back for Motherwell. Hendo's going to be back for Motherwell. Ross McKeever and Ben Parkinson are expected either Rangers or the semi-final. So we are getting there. It's just that obviously yesterday we were very short.
Yeah, I mean, it was good to see Gary Oliver getting some minutes yesterday as well, by the way. Everyone really likes Gary Oliver as a player. His link up is phenomenal, but it was good to see him get some minutes. But again, that goes to show you, we were so light in the bench that, that someone that's, been out in the wilderness is having to come on. But yeah, it was good to see Gary getting some minutes yesterday. But yeah, I mean, it was frustrating. We weren't at our best. The referee was terrible. But I don't think we can just lump it all on the ref. I think you've got to look at our
We
set
were
piece,
poor.
certainly our set piece defending for one. You've got to look at that, and I just think there was a lot of players might a bit off it yesterday. Bit off it. See a lot of criticism for Cole Donaldson online as well, and I don't get that. I mean, there was one point where he let the St Mirren guy, I can't remember who what player it was, but he got through, and Scott Bain had a really decent save for it. But so that aside, I thought Cole was pretty solid. And again, Lewis Nielsen, again, I didn't think did much wrong as well. It was just two really bad set plays, I think.
I think individually there wasn't really like too many mistakes. I think the biggest critic that seems to be happening online is more so not so much at the game itself, but probably more so online is that do they work as a partnership? Obviously, the two goals have come from crosses into the box, so you're expecting your sort of centre halves to be able to deal with that. But then there's a foul in the build up to the second one. Scott Baines took a decision away from Cole in the first one, so there's individual situations there that change the ability to clear the ball, you know.
Yeah. Now let's hear what John McGinn had to say after the match.
John, a bit of a frustrating one this afternoon. How would you sum up how it all went?
It's a game that put an awful lot into, a hell of a lot into, and came away with nothing. And in some, we've only got ourselves to blame because we've no defended two set plays. The first one's, I mean, we've went in front. So because we had two strikers, maybe they were didn't necessarily expect that because they play a pass in a bad area that we managed to win, and Calvin plays in Barney, which Big Philly took it really well. I've seen them miss. You've got a wee bit of time to think about it. However, he just placed it in the right spot, put enough power on it to make sure it was going to go into that corner. So a really, really good finish. And yeah, we there was an open game, I would suggest. A bit open, the game was open, and we didn't keep the lead long enough. Went through a wee spell previously where that was happening. We need to be better now. We don't win the ball in midfield, it breaks, and we give away a corner kick. For the corner kick, obviously, we don't defend it, we don't deal with it. We should deal with it much, much better. It's frustrating from that point of view. We've no idea else to blame but ourselves for that. And I felt we played well in the remaining part of the half. Big Barney's got a great header at the post, which going in we would regain the lead. But it was a really good move. It was a good move, exactly what we're like. Very quick, very transitionally forward. Great ball in, and the Big Fella's met it really well. And another day, it's a 2 or 3 inches, and then it's a goal. So yeah, and I thought we were on the ascendancy most of the game. Started the second half very much on the front foot, taking the game to St Mirren. Obviously, maybe not necessarily creating sitters, if you want to call them sitters, But we're a threat, and we look like we could probably score. However, you know, we build the game for the back, we're coming out. Unfortunately, we lose possession and give away a free kick. For that free kick, we're really aggrieved because we lose a goal against Kilmarnock. We score a goal against Kilmarnock, we don't get it because Ben's blocking. And this has happened here today against us, and yet we don't get, you know, a free kick. Godjic has completely taken Fulis out. And then, yeah, it's no Godjic who heads the ball, but he's taken our player out. And it's plain for everyone to see when you look back on it. And the VAR people will have more angles than what I've actually seen it on. And it leaves them with a big gap in the middle of their defence that they can get a free header. And it looks terrible from a defensive point of view. But they've taken out our player. And, yeah, it's no like me. You know, I've been here getting up for nearly 4 years. Can't remember. It's a long time since I would complain about officials. But we now don't know what's, you know, what's a free kick, what's no a free kick. In that situation, I'm telling you that against Kilmarnock, we get, you know, penalised. And today, that went unpenalised. And that's very, very frustrating. Because it was the first ball put in our box in the second half. And it actually, again, came from ourselves. We gave away a free kick in a bad area. We had possession of the ball. And, you know, we don't know why to throw anyone under the bus. So, you know, we should do better. And, of course, we're feeling aggrieved about that. And then, again, we've tried everything and got a goal back. We were a little bit careless with one or two moments. We have a really good moment where Phil and Ben have linked up to get Phil in behind. His touch is just a little bit heavy. It means that there's not an awful lot of space between him and the goalkeeper. And the goalkeeper makes a good save. Otherwise, you know, we're getting that equaliser. So, yeah, a lot of effort, a lot of commitment. As we knew before the ball was kicked, you know, St Mirren are fighting for their lives. They're going to up their game, which they've done today. They've upped their game. They've worked extremely hard to prevent us, and we didn't deserve to lose today, but we have to, you know, we have to defend the situation better. But we could do with the rules and officials, you know, correctly calling things. We believe there's a handball in the St Mirren box. It definitely hits the boy's hand. We're comparing it to the Simon Murray one last week, whereupon again he doesn't know an awful lot about it, but it hits his hand and it's a penalty. Today it's very, very similar, and there's no penalty. So we don't know what is and what isn't there. What I would say is I wouldn't want a penalty for the Simon Murray one. I wouldn't actually want a penalty for the one today. But they're getting against us. We get penalty kicks against us for the exact same thing. So, you know, it is now, and it has been this season, last season, just luck with regards to the ball hits their player's hand, hits your player's hand. You don't get one, but they get one, and you feel aggrieved. And so it shouldn't be that, you know, but that's what the game's coming.
5 minutes, 21, one question asked. He's not happy.
He's right in everything he says, though, especially towards the end there. Like, how, if it's the penalties, just he's right. You don't want them as a penalty, but if that's a penalty last week, then that's sure as hell a penalty yesterday.
Yep, 100%, 100%. But that's the boys. They've now got 2 weeks off to go and think about it. Tough game, tough last two games or before the split as well. With obviously Fir Park, we're the last team to beat. Well, we weren't the last team to beat Motherwell at Fir Park, were we? I think we were, actually. The last team to beat Motherwell at Fir Park, and they've not conceded a goal. They've only conceded one goal since we put two past them at Fir Park, which is mental. So, yeah, we've tough game in 2 weeks' time, and then we've got Rangers at home, and they'll be chasing the title. It'll be big expectation there as well. So, the players have got time off now. They've got a week off to go recharge, recuperate, and like you say, hopefully get some of these injuries back for the game against Fir Park. Hendo and Wilson being the two that you really want to see back in the side. So let's hear what you guys had to say about the game yesterday. Coxey kicks us off saying the ref and linos were awful, probably the worst I've seen all season, but they're too easy to blame. The actual fact is we did not play well at all. Too many players were off the ball and too many poor decisions were made. I don't even feel hard done by. Simply put, St Mirren done a levy on us. I knew I'd seen that somewhere, Coxey. It was you that said that. With their physicality and gamesmanship, from the moment they equalised, they had our number all over the park. They knew they had to win. They had to win ugly, and that's what they did. Fair play to them.
Yep. Doug Strathay says the referee was really poor today. Simon took advantage by pushing and grabbing jerseys all over the park. I do worry about Scott being in goal. Never comes off his line when crosses come in. Well, they're just marking on set plays was poor.
Yeah. John says, like last year, we are stumbling when the finish line is so close. Nerves, we're obviously going to make top six, but our new goal of Europe next season seems light years away. I do think, I was saying this, I do think we'll finish sixth. I think fifth's going to be, it's far too much for us now, right? So I think everything comes down to the Scottish Cup now. Our season is defined on the Scottish Cup now, so everything has to go into that game on the 18th of April against them, because I do think six is going to be, because when it goes into that top six split and you've got Rangers, Celtic and Hearts chasing that title, it is going to be tough. Motherwell, we know, are a great side, and Hibs, you know, are good at Easter Road, and we'll not like quite go back to Easter Road as well to face them. So I do think it all comes down to the Scottish Cup, and that's our season defined really now. But you've got to go back going, fucking hell. Here's me on the podcast saying 10th is all that matters, and to finish the sixth is absolutely amazing. Would be absolutely incredible, you know.
Who knows where we'll finish, John, but sixth, assuming it is confirmed sooner rather than later, is a huge, huge achievement. Yeah. And I agree. Let's focus on the cup. And because that's within your control. Finishing fifth doesn't even potentially get Europe.
No, exactly.
So we need to remember that as well. Fifth only gets you Europe if Celtic win the Scottish Cup. And Celtic aren't winning the Scottish Cup because Falkirk are.
So, indeed.
Phil Linus says, St Mirren are the new Livy. They time-wasted, kicked us, had the referee conned by their antics.
Yeah, Paul says, once Hendo is fit, centre-back pairing for the rest of the season has to be him and Conor Allen. Played two big centre-halves today and lost two goals from set pieces. Yep, I would agree with that. I do think Hendo and Donaldson, I think I'm happy with Hendo and Donaldson, but you know, I think Hendo, our best form was coming when Hendo and Connor were playing at the back. So
I just don't see Connor being in the centre of defence whilst we have fit centre backs.
Yes.
I don't disagree with the stats, because the stats show that that was the best pairing. I just don't see him going back to it. He's got fit centre halves. Alistair Scott says St Mirren more physical all over the pitch, and they seem to want it more. Not dirty as such, but bumps, pulls and pushes every time. No protection at all from the ref. An unfortunate slip from Leon to then give away the foul that their second came from. Set pieces, if only Barney's header had gone in too.
Yeah, I know. Do you know what? See games like that, I do think it's a game for Henry Cartwright, those types of games. I do think that physicality that Henry brings to the midfield is games like against St Mirren, against Livingston, that's when you want Henry. And I think he'll play against, I would suspect he might not play against Motherwell unless John goes for that mad 4-2-2-2 formation again, which had us all absolutely confused the last time we played them. But I do think someone like Henry Cartwright against the Rangers would be something I'd like to see happen, because I do think he brings that physicality to the side as well. So surprised we could have done one with midfield yesterday a lot longer than he was there for, I think. Colin rounds us off and says, we had a great time in your lounge with the corporate hospitality from Allied International, our first time up from London for a couple of years. Hopefully we'll be back soon to see you in soon. Colin, must have been the 1876 lounge yesterday, and thank you very much to Stuart and Brad from Central FM for looking after it there. I caught Stuart in the pub afterwards, said it went great. So I think he enjoyed doing that. So yes, hope you enjoyed your time in the 1876 lounge, Colin. Right, Falkirk Daft rated and Falkirk Daft Day. Obviously, Barney Stuart got man of the match. What are you thinking?
I'm not going to say he didn't deserve it, because he scored a very, very good goal. Could have got second as well. I think picking a player yesterday is really tough. I don't think anyone like massively stood out. So I don't know if you'll agree with my choice here, John, but I'm for the where he's done this season. And for his reward of being there yesterday, I'm going to say Kai Brown for what he's done so far this year. Had no
You
impact
can
on the
give a, you
games.
can give
Course I
someone.
can. Course I can.
Well, you can do
Course I
that, and
can.
I'm going to overrule you because
Yeah.
he was on the bench yesterday. You
You
can't give.
do that to a child. You overrule.
Not having
I'm
that.
going to say
Not
Kai
having this
Brown.
primary school, everyone's a winner mentality, Ross. Jesus Christ. No
No,
chance.
he's done
Until
well.
he
He's
gets on
done
that
well.
park and proves himself, he's not getting it. But I appreciate the Falkirk players on the park yesterday. You
Can you
say
pick one? Can
what?
you genuinely pick a Falkirk player for yesterday?
Right, so
Hence why
let's
I
go
went
through
with
it.
Kai.
Scott can't be Scott Bain because again, I think he was at fault for the first. Leon can't as your usual go-to Leon or Liam. Leon gave away that was a stupid mistake for giving away second. Call and Nielsen again going back to the comments said you can't give it probably to them because again we lost two set pieces yesterday. Lisa was a bit off it yesterday. Dylan. It's all right. Brad was off it. Miller was off it. Ben Brosio. I think Ben Brosio probably deserves it from yesterday.
I'm not
And
good.
in fact, no, Barney. Just give it to Barney for his goal. He ran the channels well. He caused a bit of troubles with the defender. And I'm just going to give it to him for his goal. So Barney Stewart, two in a row for me.
Fair enough. You'll have Kai's mother ruined at your door any
I'll
day.
have Kai's well. Sorry, Mrs. Brown.
Sorry,
Apologies.
Fiona.
Apologies. Apologies, Mr. Brown. But there you go, Ross. Ross put up a case for it. But once he gets on that park, I'm sure he'll be picking up plenty of Falkirk Draft rated nominations in the future. Dafty, Christ, it's the referee, isn't it? Ross Hardy.
Yeah, well, ref, Lino, VAR, just put them all as one.
Yeah, refereeing team yesterday. I had the miles off it yesterday, miles off it. But there you go. Hopefully, they'll be better. We'll have better referees come future games. Yeah. So that's that. St Mirren done. On to next game. Motherwell, we've got a week off next week as well with an international break,
We
which is
do.
interesting.
There'll be no preview this week and no
Yeah.
review show next week, but we'll be back with a preview for the Motherwell game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Oh, do you know what I'll try and get for that? I'll try and get Gordon Duncan, a Motherwell supporter. See
Good
if we can
show.
get Gordon on for the preview show. I've got a overwhelming work. But yeah, that's it really for this week's Falkirk Daft going out in a bit of a, you know, we're all off to watch the Celtic Dundee United game now. It kicks off at 12:30. We're just finishing up this just now. So hopefully we'll be back with six confirmed ahead of the international break. And I believe there's rumours that the fixtures might be out this week as well, if that's all confirmed today.
It has, one as soon as it's mathematical, the fixtures will be out. So I
Hearing
will.
rumours of Tynecastle in the last game of the season.
That is the rumor. That is the strong rumor being bandied about. And the other rumor that's been bandied about is that we will have four home games.
I can't see that. You're the one that told me this rumour. I can't see that happening because I saw some Pye and Bovril did all the kind of workings out of what the fixtures will be. And yeah, I can't see us getting four home games. But we'll wait and see. I don't think
Wrong.
the people would. Yeah, I can't see that happening. But we'll wait and see what happens. But yeah, anyway, let's hopefully we're back here talking about our sixth position, well, guaranteed sixth position finish. Come the next episode. But before we go, thank you very much to Falkirk football fans and train. As I say, get well soon, Ian, if you're listening to this. They are down at the stadium Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30, helping you with your mental health, helping you get fit. They've got their over 50 section, which is brand new, so you can get involved with that. We've also got the Elite Academy and Legends section. Get down to the stadium Wednesday 8:30, 9:30. Details are all below are on the Facebook page as well. You can get in touch with Ian or Willie. They will sort you out. Remember, the criteria need to be over 40, no ex-pros or registered amateurs. Just get down, have a bit of fun and a laugh playing a game of football with the boys. So enjoy that. Get signed up and all details are below. We will see you, as Ross says, we're not back with a preview episode. We will see you the next time. We'll be previewing Motherwell, which will be a week on Thursday. Look forward to that. Looking forward to the trip to Fir Park, hopefully. Try and remain unbeaten against Motherwell as the Lanarkshire Galacticos. As I've been labelled this season. So still not being able to beat the Bairns up. But we'll find out what happens a couple of Saturdays' time. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for listening. Get our merch, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk, of course. Get yourself Falkirk Daft kitted out. Get us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram by typing in Falkirk Daft. And check out the Discord channel. The link is below. Get involved in the chat with that. But until next time for the Motherwell preview.
Expect unexpected. On the Bairns.
What folk are done? What folk are done? Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. What folk are done? What folk are done? You can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. What folk are done? What folk are done? For everyone who's kidding about being a folk are done. What folk are done? We are folk are done.